Between the two great events of Christ's ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate today, both recorded in the first and second chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, we find in chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, this verse. Then they, that is, the 11 remaining apostles, returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended, a Sabbath day journey away, about half a mile or so. And they went to the upper room where they were staying. That's the same room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his apostles. All of them, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary. The women probably being Mary Magdalene, Salome, and the other women who had been with the Blessed Mother at the cross of Jesus and were there at the empty tomb that first Easter Sunday morning. But they were there together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren, that is, his family and his disciples. Now, it's important to note that St. Luke records the names of those 11 apostles and the name of Mary, nobody else. Mary is mentioned by name, and Mary is there to pray with the apostles and to pray for the apostles because she knows that they are going to continue the work of her divine Son. Mary, no doubt, told them about the visit that she herself had received from the Archangel Gabriel and how she conceived Jesus in her own womb by the Holy Spirit's power and not through man. She probably explained to them Christ's early childhood, his young adulthood, and spoke to them about his life all the way up to the first miracle that he performed at Cana, the wedding of Cana. She probably reminded them of what she said to the waiters at Cana regarding Jesus. Those words were, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, in that very room, the upper room, just about 6 weeks before, the apostles were reclined at table with Jesus celebrating the great festival of Passover. And while at supper, as we all know, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given up for you." Afterwards, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink, this is the cup of my blood, the cup of the new and eternal covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And he concludes with, "Do this in memory of me." Mary said, "Do whatever he tells you." And Jesus said, "Do this. Celebrate this memorial, this Eucharist, in memory of me." Brothers and sisters, it was the Holy Spirit who made Jesus present in Mary's womb. In her very body, Mary contained the Son of God made flesh, in body, blood, soul, and divinity. In that very room where Mary is with the apostles, those who were there at the Last Supper, it was there that Jesus gave his apostles the power to make him present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist. The same way that he became flesh in Mary, Christ becomes flesh on the altar, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles in that same upper room, united in prayer with Mary. In this we see that the church is the body of Christ, and the church is made the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, poured out to us in baptism, in confirmation, and who brings Christ present to us in the Eucharist. This is why St. Paul says the church is one body, made so of the one bread that we all share, as we celebrate the gift of one Lord, who gave us one faith, one baptism, to make us children of the one God, who is Father of all. The apostles, after receiving the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, preached the death and resurrection of Christ. They preached baptism in his name for the forgiveness of sins. And everyone who came to believe devoted themselves to three things: to the teaching of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those three things, the teachings of the apostles, the teachings of Jesus given to them and from the apostles to their successors, the bishops, down to this very day, the breaking of bread, what we're doing right now, the celebration of the Eucharist, and prayer, which we all do together. These three things, unity in belief, unity in prayer, unity through the Eucharist, that is what makes the church. That makes the church. And Mary is our mother. She is mother of Christ. She is mother of the body of Christ. She is mother of the church. On Pentecost, Acts tells us the disciples spoke in the languages of every nation known to them at that time. God chose this means to indicate the presence of the Holy Spirit. Whoever had received the Spirit spoke in every kind of tongue. This same Holy Spirit, by whom faith, hope, and especially love is poured into our hearts. It was love demonstrated in the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of Christ's sacrifice, love poured out by and in the Holy Spirit that brings the Church of God together from every nation, every race, every people, and every language. If anyone should ever ask, and sometimes they will, why is it that we don't speak in tongues? Because we claim to have the Holy Spirit, you should be speaking in tongues. The answer is, we do. We are one body, we are one church, and we speak all languages. The church speaks the language of each and every person that she takes into herself. By the spectacular miracle of Pentecost, the apostles themselves, to use Jesus' words, become new wineskins filled with a new wine. That is, the old faith of Moses passed to the Jewish people now finds its fulfillment in Christ, and from the apostles is passed down to us. The apostles are there to preserve and to carry out the gospel to all nations until the end of time, to command what Jesus himself commanded, to come together at this table, to eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaiming his death and resurrection until he returns. Brothers and sisters, keep in mind what we're celebrating today. You and I, called by Christ, called by the Spirit, are members of that church, the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, which the Lord Jesus acknowledges to be his very own and no other. That same church that he fills with his Holy Spirit and his real presence as she spreads throughout the entire world. As Jesus calls himself, he is the bridegroom who never loses sight of his own bride, the church. And no one can ever deceive Christ by substituting some other woman, if you would, some other church. He knows who his bride is. This body, this church, is his bride. It is the house of God built up by living stones, that's you and me, whose master is Almighty God, and it is his delight to live here in us and among us. As members of the Church of Christ, may we always remember the beautiful words of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Bear with one another in love. Do all that you can to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We must pray and see to it, relying on God's grace and the Holy Spirit's lead, that Christ's sorrow at seeing his church undermined by so many false teachers, false religions, heretics, and schismatics, all for their own deluded pride, may come to an end. That instead we can do exactly what St. Paul says. Encourage one another in coming back to the Eucharist. Preserve the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. We know that Christ's church will not end, but Satan will certainly attack it. But we pray that the church will not collapse into ruins, but instead experience renewal and regeneration in holiness and in truth. And thus we turn to Mary, the mother of Christ, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, the mother of the church, to pray for us that all of us may follow the Spirit's lead to everlasting union with her divine Son. And we ask the Holy Spirit to fill the hearts of his faithful and to enkindle in us the fire of his love, that we will always remain faithful, united to Christ and one another, in his blessed sacrament, in the sacred church, his body on earth.